Our next guest won an island. Okay, he won the custodianship of an island for a year. And, let me be more specific. At the northern tip of the Stockholm Archipelago in Sweden, there is a small plot of land sticking out. And that became a place that our next guest was given stewardship of for a year from Swedish tourist industry. Eric Holmer joins us. He is a Madison resident, a father of five, and he recently returned from Sweden. A father of three, a family of five. Sorry, I didn't mean to add two kids to your list. That would be a real struggle. Eric Holmer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you today.
So first, translate Holmer for me in Sweden.
You know, Holmer, I didn't know this until I was a little bit older, but apparently the first part of it can loosely be translated as island. So they were giving out a lot of different names, or there were so many people who had the name derivative of something sun, right?
Yeah.
And so in light of that, people started to take on names or were given names that were like a geographic feature and then something added to it. So you might know like a Holmstrom family or a Holmstad family, but we're the Holmer family. And so loosely, roughly, you could translate that as islander, which we kind of thought was funny, you know, but didn't really have anything more than that for the many years, right? Until we heard about this contest, and then that took on some new meaning, perhaps.
If you've got a question for Eric, you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can send an email to talk@wpr.org. You just got back from Sweden. It's probably your first time, right? Although, as you mentioned, you've got ancestry there. What was your experience like?
I mean, it was an incredible experience. 2 weeks traveling across the country. We started in Stockholm and made our way to the West Coast with some stops along the way. And then we were able to visit actually the church where my great-grandfather was baptized back in 1880 before they emigrated to America when he was about 10 years old in 1890. But they had a special service that Sunday. My parents actually came in for that part of the trip too. So we overlapped with them for a little bit. And so there was just, you know, multiple generations there where this was the spot. That was a pretty significant point in the life of our family. To be able to be there have the traditional after church potluck in the fellowship hall. We even had the church potatoes that were exactly the same as you might see in any Lutheran church basement or fellowship hall. It tasted the same. It was great, but like, you know, some things are familiar everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And that was a key part of it. But I mean, yeah, we went from the West Coast to East Coast and eventually made our way through the archipelago out to the island. But there were a lot of stops in between. We stopped in Stockholm a couple times, one time on the way down, another time after going out to the coast. But wildly, when we planned this trip, I was telling friends and family, and one of our friends, a friend I've known since fifth grade, also happened to be in Sweden, in Stockholm, at the exact same time, staying 15 minutes away
from
where we were. So our two families met up and explored the city, went to museums together. So that was just another kind of little bit of magic of these 2 weeks together.
You go over to Sweden, you connect with your parents and your great-great-grandparents' church where he was baptized. Your best friend or good friend from grade school is in Stockholm the same time you are. A lot of kismet involved in this trip.
It was a lot of magic. And pretty unforgettable. And yeah.
How old are your three kids?
So we've got a 13-year-old, Charlotte. William is 10, and Fred is 8, all starting school tomorrow.
Just freshly back from Sweden. What were their experience like? What did they say about it?
I mean, they had a fantastic time. I mean, we kept things interesting by kind of getting up and moving every couple days so we could see something new, keeping it fresh. But we rented a car, so it was just a road trip. We like long road trips where that family that wakes up at midnight to drive to Florida or Texas straight through. So they were well conditioned for a road trip. This was just a Swedish road trip, and listening to pop radio.
Swedish pop radio?
Oh, I mean, you know, Sweden is like the pop music capital of the world. I mean, you don't realize how many hits are Swedish productions or Swedish artists. So
I mean, this is the home of ABBA, right?
Absolutely.
So they've got Dancing Queen is just where it started, and now it's probably, I wouldn't know where it is now.
Zara Larsson, one of the biggest, you know, hits of the summer right there.
I would not know that, Eric. You are road tripping with your family across Sweden for 2 weeks. This is all a result of a contest that you entered and were given custodianship of an island. Could you describe about the location of this island, where we could find this island on a map? What did you win?
Yeah, it's a great question. so the island, which I finally have, I'm still working on pronouncing it correctly in Swedish, but Hjortbadon, I guess, is one
nicely
of the...
Nicely done.
Well, thank you. I've said it probably like 50,000 times since we found out we won. And
I put it into Google Translate, and you sound a lot like Google Translate.
That's the goal, I suppose. But yeah, so this island is out. It's kind of, you know, there's 30,000 islands in the Stockholm archipelago,
yeah,
which is quite a few. 30,014, actually, and one of those is Hjortbadon. And it is located as far east as you can go. After this, it's the Baltic Sea, and that's it.
You are like the last island in the Stockholm archipelago.
It's the last stop. It's the last stop before Finland. And so just north of our island, the biggest island, when I was kind of just poking around Google Maps, yeah, I found this island called Arholma, not Arholmer, but Arholma. And this island, as I was kicking around the history a little bit, was the site of a secret, only recently in the last decade or so, decommissioned military base that the Swedes had built kind of as a coastal fortification should any invasion from the east ever come. So this was, there's a kind of museum now, you can go through tunnels. We didn't get a chance to go because it had closed for the season, but that was the closest island, I guess. But then, mm-hmm, you know, dotted all around there are tons of smaller islands. And then the closest big city would be Norrtälje. And I learned about that city because they picked up the story after Visit Sweden kind of announced the contest results. And they published a story, which it got us laughing because the headline was essentially, American Erik Holmer thinks he's got this great honor, but locals say it's not such a big deal.
So, Hjortbadon, tell us a little bit about this island. How would you describe it? What is there?
Yeah, the answer is there are birds there and what the birds leave behind.
Bird and bird droppings.
Yeah,
bird and bird. That's what you get.
It is a it's a low-lying collection of rocks. I mean, the article in the local paper summed it up. They basically said, you know, it's really not suitable for even visiting. If the winds are out of the north, south, or east, you're going to have a difficulty getting there. It could be washed over by waves. It may be impossible to reach. Basically, everything saying, don't go, don't go. Why would you go? And so we said, of course, with our family of five, we're going to figure out a way to go.
You actually took to Reddit. I saw the link at reddit.com, yes, and you're like, hey, guys, I'm thinking about going to Hjortbadon, I'm wondering what you think.
We had to enlist local advice and wisdom, but it was...
And that advice was pretty universal, wasn't it?
It was. It's going to, you know, yes, you can, but maybe why would you? Or maybe you could, but I don't think everything has to be right, essentially, because if you kayak out there, you might be kayaking a long time. But it was the connection through the newspaper that ended up being the key connection that actually got us to the island.
You say us. Yeah. Eric, I would think that if you were taking, if you had won an uninhabited island off the Stockholm archipelago that is as far east as you can go until you reach the Baltic Sea, that I'd be hesitant to take the kids.
You know, so when I first said I'm going, the rest of the family was like, good luck. Well, we'll watch from ashore. But, you know, we're a family of swimmers. All three kids, you know, they do club swimming with Badger Aquatics, Ridgewood Pool. So we are, you know, local swimming. We're into it. And so we thought, hey, they can swim. But even that, you know, I was still nervous. Like, yeah, this boat's got to be a pretty significant boat, and we're not going to be like hopping out to hop on. So I didn't know what it was going to be. But this connection through the local paper, a guy was interviewed who kind of had the key, I wouldn't say disparaging quotes, but just the realistic assessment quotes, perhaps. Danny was his name, and there was no email, but I just kind of cold emailed who I thought was Danny. And sure enough, we started correspondence over the months and weeks. And what about this date? What do you think? Could that work? Actually, yeah, maybe I could even get you out there. And it all culminated in Friday, the 21st, 10:15, meet us at this dock. And I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know anything other than that. So we drove to that spot. We pull up, and 10:15 comes around, and we see a boat coming up. And so I go, wow, you know, see it pull up. He docks. I smile. He smiles. I shake his hand. I say, what a story. Yeah. And I say, thank you so much, Danny. And he goes, I'm not Danny. So he said, but that might be him over there. And so we looked to our left, and there's another boat coming in that was much larger.
Okay.
And that was Danny.
I was thinking a kayak was pulling up, yeah, with Danny on board saying, get the kids in here. Yeah. Let's go.
No, so Danny runs a business that transports things from island to island. And it was big enough essentially to fit a car in the front. It had a loading ramp. So he just lowered that ramp and we walked on and took the 25-minute or so journey to the island, and he pulled right up, lowered the ramp, and we were able to walk on. We spent about half an hour. I thought it would be a unique funny thing to bring an American football to throw on the island to kind of say nobody in the history of the world has probably ever done this. So
you were the first.
We were the first. Mark it down. But I, as far as I understand it, the island in its older days was used as a place where they would set their nets to catch herring.
Yeah.
But again, there's no vegetation. There's no beach.
How big is this island?
I mean, we're talking like...
Could it fit a family of five?
Oh, I mean, there was... I joked that we only got to explore half the island because there was a little bit of a channel between some of the rocks, a little bit too slippery to get to, so we'll have to come back to... We just didn't have enough time to explore this 100-foot collection of rocks known as Huat Badon. But we did... To picture the journey from Wisconsin to be standing in the middle of the Baltic Sea, visit Sweden, it was an incredible contest idea.
Just to have an excuse to go visit a desolate island at the end of the Stockholm Archipelago after traveling the country.
Yeah.
I just think that's... You don't have family vacations like that every day.
No, that was a one of one, I think. And the generosity of the locals and Danny to like get us out there, like just to give him his time on a Friday morning. Yeah, I'll drive you out there. He lives on an island nearby. And he says, you know, if you ever come back, you can actually stay on my island this time because it's actually like... You can camp there. The whole campaign was designed around not just that Sweden has the most islands of any country in the world. They got like 267,000. But it was also designed of this to promote this notion of allemansrätten, this right that anybody can basically camp wherever they want. All of Sweden, there's like free access. So like you can just up and pick a spot and camp wherever you want in the country. It's the free right to roam, essentially. So you can... If you see someplace, you can go there. So when we were on a beach on the west coast in Tilosan, we saw there was an island out in the distance with a lighthouse. And in other situations, I might be like, do we have permission to go out there?
Right.
We just said, no, just paddle out, go explore it, and check it out. So
this might be the most foreign thing I've heard all hour talking about Sweden, Aaron. What's it called again?
Allemansrätten. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it's translated as the right of public access.
And so if you find a place that you can camp... That you have the right to camp there, whether it's that little desolate island that you won in this contest or Danny's Island or the Lighthouse Island, it's all available to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, with the understanding that, you know, it's like a leave no trace situation, leave it better than you found it, and not like you're putting a tent in front of somebody's front door and staying there for months. But I think, you know, the freedom to just, where you find a good spot to explore, they want people to feel that freedom. So it's a really cool concept.
Eric Holmer, our guest, the Madison resident who won a year-long custodianship of a desolate island in the Stockholm Archipelago. So he took his family of five and they traveled all the way to actually visit with the help of Danny and his boat. Do you have the right to roam both public and private property in Sweden? I've seen these stories with like Lake Michigan in the news and beachfront property there. I think the same thing happens in Florida. I'm guessing the same thing happens probably everywhere there's private property in the United States. But does that apply to this concept?
I mean, my understanding was that there's not really like places that are off. I mean, obviously, you know, government installations, things like that, you could just roam wherever you wanted. But I think it's much more free to explore than we would say, like, hey, get off my part of the beach over there. So that's my understanding.
And nobody told you to get off their part of the beach.
The birds may have had a few words to say to us, but we couldn't translate. So
how were the waters on your boat trip?
The waters were fantastic. So,
really?
I mean, we likened it a lot to the area outside of Nortalia where we went. I mean, it felt like we were up in Lake Country in Wisconsin. And similarly, it felt like everybody in Stockholm, you know, I mean, they take a few months off. Everybody does in the summer, which is fantastic. But it felt like everybody has a lake house somewhere, you know, a couple hours drive away.
Yeah.
And they just go with friends and family. And, you know, we wandered and there was the dock and everybody had their little sailing boats or little motor boats. And they were floating, you know, docks to swim off. So we jumped in and it was bracing, but it was also not undoable, right? It's
cold like Wisconsin waters,
cold like
northern Wisconsin waters.
That's what it felt like. And it was it was great to swim and just feel like it was a Midwest adjacent experience, familiar but foreign at the same time. So
which is probably what the Swedish immigrants sort of felt when they made their way here. There was something familiar about it. Some things like church potatoes are universal.
They love their sausages and hot dogs as well. Like that's very, I mean, you go to the grocery store and it's just, you know, a wall of countless sausage options. They're big fans over there.
Do you have a favorite meal?
Favorite meal? That's a great question. I mean, so interestingly, we were hosted by a family of the congregation the night before the service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they welcomed us in for a dinner. They invited some friends over. So that was really cool. They lived on a farm nearby. And we actually had taco dinner. because
Swedish tacos.
Yeah, tacos made inroads into like Swedish culture of back. I think, as I understand it, in the 80s, there was kind of a marketing campaign to unlock, you know, tacos in the Swedish market, and it took hold. And so it's very common to have taco night in Sweden. They don't do Taco Tuesdays, as far as I understand it. It's much more typical to find it on a Friday. They have this notion of cozy Fridays. So
okay,
you cozy up, you have taco night, maybe you have some chips, and you get together, you kind of stay in, you watch some shows. So yeah, that was a cool thing to be a part of and to try. It was very similar. I know in some instances they do toppings a little bit differently, but for the most part, it was
your typical tacos.
Yeah, Midwestern taco night.
So Thursday nights, as we learned from our last guest, is pea soup and Swedish pancakes.
There you go.
And then Friday night is Taco Friday.
And
I could get used to this really fast.
And then the kids love Saturday. They go crazy for candy. That's the day everybody gets
candy day.
The kids. I mean, that's also my understanding. Saturday is kind of reserved as the kids can get the candy they want on Saturday. So at the grocery store, huge like walls of candy, like bulk section where you're scooping all the different kinds, mixing it. It was everywhere. Tons of candy options. So that was another cool.
What'd your kids think about that?
Well, they loved in particular one type of candy called Bubs, which has now made its way over here. It's like a sour, chewy candy, but there was a flagship store downtown Stockholm that they...
The Bubs store?
They had a hard time leaving. Yeah, it was quite, yeah, a lot of options.
Eric, oh, I should give out the phone number and invite folks to the conversation. I'm sorry, I'm monopolizing this. 1-800, I'm just so curious.
Yeah.
1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. But they weren't fish tacos, right? I know there's a lot of fish there, but these weren't like Southern California fish tacos. These were...
I mean, again, like it felt, you know, ground beef tacos with the little seasoning packet, and you had the flour tortillas and the tomatoes and the salsa, the cheese, the tortilla chips. I mean, again, it was just like, it's Midwestern taco night right here. Here we go.
So the church potatoes and the Midwestern tacos, it just around the world.
Yeah. I mean, we did some grocery shopping while we were there because we had kitchens in the place we stayed.
Yeah.
The grocery shopping experience honestly felt really familiar.
Wow.
A few differences, but for the most part, really one-to-one. A lot of the same stuff, easy to get, and it was... I missed the baked goods, though, I will say. I wasn't expecting the baked goods to be as
maybe
incredible.
There's a market we could enter into there. Maybe we could open up the sourdough shop.
Let's go.
In Stockholm?
Absolutely. I'm in.
And start Sourdough Tuesdays.
Fantastic. Yeah. The cinnamon rolls, the cardamom buns. It was, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you go back? I know Danny's invited you to his island if you do.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. We've explored a fraction of. We saw, you know, Wisconsin. It's about three times the size of Wisconsin.
Sweden is.
Yeah, Sweden is. And so we kind of explored a narrow band from east to west, but there's so much more to explore. Other big cities, other remote parts. I mean, all the way up to the northern. Other winners, there were five winners of this island contest. They had some that were way up north, so they did a road trip all along the coast and then looped back down. It was fun to see their photos, and you know, as they weren't quite at the Arctic Circle, but much further north than we were. And
wow,
it was a totally different.
I am so glad you didn't get that one.
That was that would have been a little bit different adventure, but an adventure nonetheless.
You would have done it, wouldn't you?
Again, you say here's your island, we're gonna go see the island. I think that's just kind of.
If they give you an island, you got to go to the island.
That's the number one question.
But you don't have to bring the kids.
That's a good point.
I've asked about the kids a number of times. Yeah. I mean, your wife sounds like a great sport in all this.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, she was happy to be an observer of the official entry video rather than participant, but she absolutely had a fantastic time and, you know, came on the island, loved it, and just, it was a great journey as a family. We're not going to forget.
She doesn't have Swedish roots, though. You do.
That's correct. Yeah. So through my father's side, he was 100% Swedish. So there's a lot of Swedish ancestry on that side. My wife is more German and Irish. So,
any plans to visit Germany and Ireland now that she's seen your ancestry?
I think it's definitely inspired, like, okay, yeah, we can do this as a family of five. Like, let's have some more adventures. So totally. It was a great experience and definitely wants to make us do it again.
And you made a cool website, and your entry video is up on that website, right?
That's right. Yeah.
OurSwedishIsland.com. That's OurSwedishIsland.com. And you can see Eric and the kids there. When does your custodianship end? Are they going to do this contest again? Should I be looking for some Swedish roots of my own here?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, so the custodianship officially ends a year from when it started back in June. So a lot of the people that won the contest started this summer is the time to jump on and go visit while we got the chance. And, you know, Visit Sweden, incredibly creative in their campaigns, always something a little bit off the wall and unique to promote traveling to Sweden. So I'm guessing they've got something even more incredible and crazy cooked up for the next round. But I'm guessing this Your Swedish Island concept was a one-off. But I can't say how incredibly grateful I am that we got to be the benefactors of it. Because it was
it sounds like you made the most of it and then some.
Yeah,
and then there was the magic that came into play that all played a role in this. Was it your great-great-grandfather, a Lutheran pastor?
Yeah, that's correct. So Carl Erik Holmer, he was the one that grew up in that small church in Gronehog. And so when he was 10 years old, he moved to the United States and eventually went to Augustana Seminary.
And this would have been back in the end of the 19th century or thereabouts?
That's when he moved. And then, went to seminary in the early 20th century. And then he was a pastor for almost 40 years at congregations across the United States. And his son, Arthur Holmer, my grandfather, also became a pastor in the Lutheran church. And then Art had two sons and a daughter, and my dad and my uncle, they both also became Lutheran pastors. So from that one church, over 100 plus years of ministry at congregations across the country. So it was a pretty powerful moment to be back where that all started and to worship as a family there. It was
pretty
cool.
But that also continues with you.
It's in process. So I started seminary back in 2021 at Duke Divinity School, and that program wrapped up in 2025. And I'm now kind of completing the additional supplemental Lutheran portion of that journey, since Duke Divinity School is in a Lutheran-specific seminary. So taking some classes through Luther, and
Plan to be a pastor someday like your ancestors?
That's the plan.
Is it in the blood or is it in the plan? What is it about the Homer is that, speaks to a role of service, a role of God?
That's a great question. I think it's something that, it can't obviously be assumed or taken for granted that just, it's a family thing by any means. But I think there is something that comes with the proximity to it.
And when you see it and grew up in it and see the effect it can have on others and what it means to have a congregation is like what it means to have a family.
Absolutely. Yeah. You see what it is and what it isn't. And you see the challenges and the joys. And you see, again, like you said, what an important role it is, and what it is.
So you're coming at this with eyes wide open, what it is and what it isn't, the challenges. So, but that all speaks to where you're going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I kind of want to keep track of you, but I feel like you need to win another island or something.
Hey, we'll keep our eyes open. This no adventure too big, right?
Yeah. And for those who would be thinking about traveling to Sweden, what would you recommend to them? What kind of advice would you give? Or would you say we should all go?
I mean, I definitely think, you maybe hear about some of the other Scandinavian countries for tourism a bit more, but I think Sweden has had so much to offer. And again, we only explored a fraction of it. Something we experienced too at every stop was just how much it seems like they go out of their way. And I don't think this is unique specifically to Sweden, but something we experienced there, how much they go out of their way to make kids feel welcome at every stop, whether it's at every museum, plenty of exhibits tailored for them, whether it's the food that's offered, not just your typical kids menu, but really, creative stuff for kids, kids being welcomed everywhere, really inventive and unique parks everywhere. It just felt very, very kid friendly and welcoming. So first of all, know that if you're going with a family, it's extremely welcoming to kids and families. So know that. But we loved exploring Stockholm, downtown, the old city, everywhere you look, just, it was another beautiful street, another incredible look at architecture that's been there for centuries. Came away incredibly impressed with the museums overall. And we didn't expect to find the beaches that we found. I mean, on the
beaches.
West, exactly right. Yeah. In this beach we went to in Tilosand, it was unbelievable. Again, it kind of reminded us of some time spent on Lake Michigan, but just, beautiful sandy beaches
And you were just there a couple of weeks ago, so our previous guests were talking about how it's on the same latitude as like Anchorage. So did you get a lot of sunlight and then very little dark?
Yeah, I mean, I would wake up, around 5 a.m. every morning, not by choice, just because that's when the sun was coming up. And then, it would stay light until 9:30, 10. So that was a little bit of a shift coming back that, it felt temperature-wise, pretty similar. It was a little bit warmer coming back, but the time with the sun, that was a bit of a shift for us between
probably
the two places.
Want to visit in the summertime then.
That's a great idea, but I would love to see what a Stockholm Christmas looks like someday.
Oh, yeah. Eric Homer, congratulations on everything, and thank you so much for sharing it with us today.
Thanks so much for having me here. It's been great.
Eric Homer, the Madison resident who won a Swedish island and then took his family of five. I'm Lee Rayburn. Thanks to our team for making it all possible, and you're listening to WPR News.